Want to be the first to know when new Forces for Nature episodes come out? Sign up for the newsletter on our website, www.forcesfornature.com. You can find the sign-up link at the bottom of the webpage or in the About section. When you do, you'll also receive a free checklist of easy, practical actions for nature that you can start taking today. I can't wait to connect with you. I'm Crystal DiMicelli, and welcome to the Forces for Nature show. Do you find yourself overwhelmed with all the doom and gloom you hear of these days? Do you feel like you, as just one person, can't really make a difference? Forces for Nature cuts through that negativity. In each episode, I interview somebody who's doing great things for animals and the environment. We talk about the challenge they're addressing, the solution they have found, what keeps them going, and we'll leave you with practical action tips so that you too can become a force for nature. I'm changing it up today by sharing with you an episode from a podcast that I was a guest on a few months ago. The podcast is called Casa de Confidence, and it's hosted by the incredible Julie DeLuca Collins. The show description says that it highlights individuals who are confident dreamers, people who have embarked on a path to go after their dreams and live a life they've imagined. Forces for Nature is one of my dreams, and the path I have taken to get here and to Rome, where I currently live, have been all about following my North Star, although not always confidently and definitely not always easy. I'm sharing it with you so that you can get a better idea of who I am and what's my why. And just maybe it'll give you the confidence to follow your dreams too.
Welcome back to another episode of Casa de Confidence. Today, I have someone that I met through a coaching group, and I was intrigued by what she does. And I was mostly intrigued about the fact that she lives in Italy. So I have invited her to be on the show because I want to talk all about her platform, her podcast. She is a podcaster, but more importantly, she's making a big impact in the world and she lives in Italy. So Crystal, welcome to Casa de Confidence. Tell us a little bit more about you and who you are and what you do.
Hey, Julie, thank you so much for having me. As you mentioned, I currently live in Rome. I'm born and raised in New York City, I'm born and raised in New York, not too far from New York City, but I've actually lived abroad for the past 10 years, just this past year in Rome. And I currently produce and host the podcast Forces for Nature, where I interview people who are doing great things for animals and the environment and a few other things as well.
That's terrific. You know, I was so intrigued by the name of your podcast, Forces for Nature, not of nature. And what I really love about it is that we all have the ability to be able to make an impact. And when we come to the conversation of the environment, when we come to the conversation of sustainability, we feel like such a daunting task or become divisive in some ways or others. But we can create a ripple effect in the world, and we can be the force that then creates that further impact. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to solve the problem, but we can be part of the solution. So that's the first thing that I thought of when I came across what you do. What inspired you to start this?
I've had an internal mission to help animals and the environment for as long as I can remember. I mean, I have a photo of when I was a toddler laying in a dog bed because I remember like waiting for the dog to come because I wanted to play with the dog. I've loved animals and I knew I wanted to do something to protect their home for them. And so And through college and my career up to this point has been around conservation, environmental education in some way. And were you asking how I came to do the podcast?
Will you walk me through what you want to walk me through? Because I guess for me, it is, and again, we all have either been the kids that got the strays home or love animals and we're the first ones to pet the dogs when we see them on the street. But you're now creating a a sustainability podcast that, and it's creating an avenue to help animals and create an awareness of the things that others are doing to make an impact. So where do you go from the little girl that was in the dog bed? And did you go to college for this? Did you know that you wanted to do this? And now what made you start a podcast? So walk us through that.
So yeah, I had always known that I was going to do something along those lines. For a while I was a teenager, I thought I would become a veterinarian. And then I got a summer job as a helping a vet and realized that wasn't quite for me. But then I went to, it was actually called the College of Environmental Science and Forestry. Like that was the name of the school.
That's awesome.
So the people who went there were like legitimately interested in like working for the environment. But funny enough, at that time, after starting college and a few years into it, I started feeling like an imposter. Like I wasn't really meant to be there. And that feeling carried over into, I did a semester, or I should say a summer semester abroad in New Zealand. And I can specifically remember the day, even the moment when that imposter syndrome started to melt away, because we were hiking up to the Pinnacles, which is this particular mountain range in New Zealand. And it was just before dawn. And the few of us who wanted to go to the top were making our way up. And I mean, we were practically rock climbing. It was not an easy hike. And it was the first time I was ever really doing something like this, because even though I was definitely dedicated to working for the environment, I wasn't really so much of a hangout in nature person myself at that point.
I can identify with that. I would like to say I'm a proponent to the environment, but I am not what you would say an outdoorsy girl, although I really enjoy it. But my friends, that's, you know, they make fun of me. And we can go into talking about, you know, how much they have made fun of me because I brought a hair dryer to a hiking trip once. So,
I mean, up until that point in my life, like, I was more about going to the mall and the movies on the weekend. I was not hiking. I was not camping. And here I was on this hike. Like my feet were killing me because they were the first pair of hiking boots I had ever owned and they were brand new. The jeans were sticking to my legs because I didn't have hiking pants.
You didn't have hiking pants. And for people who don't know, here's, if you take one thing today, please wear hiking pants hiking because jeans is not the way to go. Especially if you get wet and it rains and then you're like, you're going to be hyperthermia because you're so cold. So yeah, I hear you, girl.
100%. But we got to the top just as the sun was starting to come over the horizon. And I mean, I was cranky. I was huffing and puffing, but I stood up and the sun was starting to peek over the horizon. It was starting to turn the valley into like greens and purples. And then there were two water bodies to either side of us that were starting to shine silver. And it was breathtaking. Ugh. And it was in that moment where I knew I was where I was meant to be. And I wasn't an imposter because there's so much magic in the world and it's worth being protected in whatever your capacity is.
Yeah.
And I made it my mission from that point to help people see that magic for themselves. I mean, you can go for a walk, play with your dog, you know, watch birds flying around. They help you to remember that you're part of that magic.
That's so good.
And so from that point on, I mean, I was pretty diehard optimist for the next 10 years, let's say. Like I was going to change the world. Real life batted me down a little bit to the point where I almost considered leaving the environmental field entirely. But I asked a friend of mine who is a rock star in this field, in wildlife conservation, and I asked him what kept him going when there's just so much against him, right, against us, against everything. And he said, what he said to me was this: progress might be slow, but progress is undoubtedly being made. We are on the right side of history with everything.
Crystal, that is so powerful.
And he's so right.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have, recycling wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
and
for
now
sure.
I don't know a community that doesn't have a recycling program. And humpback whales would be extinct if it wasn't for the effort. Like, it's extinct today if it wasn't for the effort of so many people. And now they're on their way to, their numbers are doing great.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that that's the thing. And I want to pull a little bit from what you're saying, because this is so valuable. 2 points. Number one, progress may be slow, but if we look back, then we're going to see what an impact. And, you know, I typically tell my clients, consistent action gets you traction. And when you are filling a bucket one drop at a time, you're not going to feel that the bucket is getting full. But if you've been doing it forever, then yes, your bucket is going to be full. And that's really important. The other thing too is our brains are always going to go to the negative and like, oh, well, what can that do? What? Well, a lot. If you just allow yourself to have that consistency, if you just ask the right question as opposed to say, well, that's not going to do anything, and being negative, because, and yeah, our brain does that, but we can say, well, how can I do something, right? And that, and a lot of people had to ask themselves, well, what can I do and make an impact with the humpback whales, right? So I love this. This is so gold. And I love that your friend shared that with you, because now he created that ripple effect in which you are here now and you are sharing with others and on this podcast, and people are going to be listening to you. So I love this. It all comes full circle.
It does. And it really, like what you're describing was the purpose behind me creating Forces for Nature. Because I wanted, over the last few years, I started seeing the benefits of optimism in the conservation space, because usually, and even from conservationists themselves, all you hear is the doom and gloom. And that's not going to motivate people to act unless you want the action to be going into a corner and crying.
Right, for sure.
So I wanted to focus on what's working out there, because believe it or not, there's actually a lot of great things that are working out there. And we have so many man-made problems, but we have even more man-made solutions that people are putting into action.
Right.
And you don't have to be like this multimillionaire or, you know, this super influential person to do it.
Yeah.
You can make a change from your couch, like by signing petitions or something like that. I mean, there's so many different things you can do, and it's not about, like, people get so overwhelmed with, you know, the zero waste lifestyle and being 100% eco-friendly. I'm not 100% eco-friendly by any means.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, I'm very conscious in my choices, and no, they're not all going to be great, but I do my best, and that's what, like, I encourage other people to do within their capacity, because everybody has different capacities, you know, with like where you live and so on and so forth. And if we all are doing, like, making eco efforts, however imperfectly, for all doing it, we're going to make a huge change.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually over the weekend, and to your point, yes, we can make an impact. And you shared your favorite quote is one by Gandhi, and where he says that be the change you wish to see in the world. And I love that quote. I actually have it in my upstairs bedroom, in our guest bedroom, because that's where my closet is. And it reminds me that I can in my own little way, make an impact. And I actually, you know, this weekend I was away with my girlfriends, and the house where we were, it was in a lake, and they don't have a recycling program. And we did have bottles of wine.
And I hope so.
Yeah. And I came home and I thought, why didn't I bring the bottles to recycle? And I kept thinking, like, that was so simple. But sometimes we don't realize that, like, we take for granted the opportunities in which we can make a small change. And that would have been, like, so easy, right, to bring it home. So now I know for the future. But I think that we have been empowered to be able to do that. And the fact that people like you can help us find the different ways and remind us or give us the opportunities or connections to be able to make our little footprint and be that little change that the world deserves to have. So I love that. And I love this conversation. You know, when you're talking about also that hiking trip, that adventure, I think that everybody deserves to have that moment. Like I said, I am not an outdoor person, although I do go out and I have done a lot of trips. There is a magic to that dawn or that intersection of the moment when we're at and the moment in which nature is doing its thing. And it is definitely magical because we see the pictures, but we don't realize that, you know, from moment to moment, life can evolve so slightly, but the colors shift. And I was remembering when you're making your description, I was in Israel some time back, and I did the hike, the dawn hike up to Masada, the mountain of Masada. And for those who don't know the Bible, that's where everybody, and maybe I'm going to be wrong saying this because it's been a while since I've read the story, but where everybody at the top spoke different languages. Anyhow, but it's a huge mountain, and it's not an easy hike. And we left Jerusalem to go to the desert to climb up this mountain in the middle of like the night in Jerusalem. And when we got to the mountain, it was similar. Like, I'm like huffing and puffing, like, I can't believe I'm doing this. But as we were starting to get up, and when we got to the sunrise up the mountain and seeing the sun just come up over the desert, I remember that it was probably one of the most magical moments I've had. And then you can see the sun shining off of the Dead Sea in the distance, which was terrific. And we don't see that beauty. And I think that people need to take time out because in the midst of what we deal with every day, there's a lot of other opportunities. And you don't have to go to New Zealand or Israel, but you can find the places near you when you can have that appreciation. And it definitely can fill your cup with some peace and joy and love. For the moment. Don't you agree?
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now you're in Italy. Tell us about that. How did you end up in Italy and what is it like to living the expat life?
Well, I love it. the road to Italy has been through a few different other countries as well. And actually it was because of the internal mission that that I have, that I mentioned earlier, of wanting to work in conservation, that has led me here indirectly. But to start, so when I was living in New York, I had moved to New York City in my 20s, and I was working for the Wildlife Conservation Society while there. And I was working as a zookeeper, which was such a cool job because I got to train baboons and enrich otters and receive sea lion kisses.
That's amazing.
It was a lot of fun, but there was something like I wanted more. And so I went while working, I got my master's in nonprofit management, but I focused the studies on ecotourism because I wanted to travel and do conservation at the same time.
Girl after my own heart.
And after graduation, I had the opportunity to thankfully, my job gave me a leave of absence. Although, honestly, I was willing to quit for this, but I had the opportunity to do a 6-month fellowship in Panama for an ecotourism company that was contracted by National Geographic. So I was like, I gotta go.
Oh my gosh. So
went to Panama, long story short, became disenchanted with ecotourism, but met my now husband while there. And I knew I wanted to go back to Panama, but the sexy Latino wasn't enough to make me just drop my career aspirations and go hang out on a hammock. I said that I wouldn't go back until I had a job. Mm-hmm. And 9 months later, I was able to secure a position with the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute, where I was working first in development and then environmental education.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then 5 years later, so we were in Panama for 5 years, that was my first experience being an expat. I didn't know Spanish when I went to Panama. So, you know, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. We can't just go into it saying it's, you know, all sunshine and rainbows and adventures. There's a lot of heartache and tears.
Oh, definitely. I know someone, and actually she's been on the podcast, Dr. Jackie Black. I don't know if you know her from Clubhouse, but Dr. Jackie lives in Panama, and she she is a therapist. She works with couples mainly, but she does a lot of really great work and loves it there. But it's not, you know, we see the Instagram reel, right? Or the highlight where how fun and like how exotic it is. And yeah, there is a level of that. But the reality is that culture in having travel around the world, for me, I realized that the culture is very different. And sometimes, even my husband, we went to El Salvador in January, and it was his first time going to Latin America other than Mexico. But, you know, he loved it. But then there were moments in which the culture is a little different. And you're like, what do you mean? Or what is, you know, you it takes you by surprise. And, you know, living there as opposed to visiting is very different. So I could see that happening.
Very much so. And it got a little bit harder. So 5 years later, my husband got this wonderful opportunity in Colombia. And so we moved to Colombia. But I didn't have a work permit. And so I was not able to work. And that was really hard.
Yeah.
And I floundered about for 6 months until I was able to reframe the situation as an opportunity. Mm. And, you know, like I had this opportunity to do something for me and something I always wanted to do, except I didn't know what that was at the moment. But I eventually landed on the Forces for Nature podcast because it kept me within that conservation space, but I could do it from afar. And it didn't matter that I still wasn't fluent in the language. I'm much better now. It was embarrassing. 5 years in Panama, I still wasn't fluent in Spanish. But And then from Colombia, we came here with a little bit of a pandemic stopover in Costa Rica.
Oh,
that was not planned.
So fun. So super fun. I have to say, you know, the one thing that you said as well, and I think that this is something that we forget, that we have the opportunity that in the situations, and we just said that, right? We said that earlier, that when something happens that maybe is not the way that we would like, we have the opportunity to reframe our brain because our belief is really what's going to drive the actions that we take. So if we believe like, oh, this is a terrible situation, I can't work, then it is going to be a terrible situation because your actions are going to be, well, wah, wah, I'm going to sit here and, you know, sulk or feel, you know, begrudge my husband that he brought us here. And oh my gosh, I'm losing my touch with my career, with what I do. But you reframed it and you said, well, rather than like, I can't work, you said, well, how can I do something, right? That, and that was a great birthplace for the podcast. I love that. I have to ask you, because you mentioned that when Panama, you went in, you were doing some ecotourism with National Geographic. I visited, I don't know if it's still owned by them or run by them, but in Costa Rica, I went and I stayed at the resort. It's not a resort. It's a hotel, I guess, at the foot of the active volcano Arenal. And it's run by National Geographic. Have you been there?
Now, this is in Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica, yeah.
No, I don't think, I didn't realize that was run by National Geographic. I mean,
yeah,
it so was. I know of one place. I don't know if it's the same one, but how interesting.
Yeah, it was super, it was really interesting. So I went and I was not married to handsome, hot husband, Dan. I was married to my practice spouse and it was a really fun trip. I mean, my practice spouse and I did do a lot of traveling and we had a lot of fun. He's a good traveler. He was not a great husband, but he's a great traveler companion. And we went and stayed at the National Geographic. And they don't call it a resort, but they actually, you know, they measure the volcanic activity, I guess. And you can, I don't like frogs and Costa Rica has a lot of frogs and I don't like snakes. So I would, and, you know, there's a lot of like, I can't even think of the word because I'm thinking in Spanish because I'm thinking Costa Rica, but there's a lot of animals that I don't prefer. And so even though it was a beautiful place and we had a room that overlooked the volcano and of course it's an active volcano, there's a level of like, oh, could we die? If we have an eruption, there's that thought, but it was really cool to walk around the grounds and to do some hiking there. And they have so if you're interested, I highly recommend that adventure. So Crystal, now that you've been living in Rome and you have this revolving door for visitors, I have a question for you. Tell me, what are you hoping to accomplish for yourself, for the work that you are doing, and how can we support you? And what are the things that people can connect with you about?
That's a wonderful question. So I am looking to grow Forces for Nature. As a matter of fact, not specifically for Forces of Nature, but I was recently contracted by an ocean conservation organization to produce and host a podcast for them.
So exciting.
So yeah, I'm very excited about the idea of doing podcasts for conservation organizations. So that's something I'm working towards as well. But in growing Forces for Nature, the podcast, and also the idea behind it, people can come find me on Instagram, Becoming Forces for Nature, and they could also go to the website, www.forcesfornature.com. And if you can sign up to receive a free checklist on some great ideas on how to easily start becoming a force for nature yourself.
So good. So, you know, I saw on your Instagram, there was a post where you talked about how if everyone in the U.S. ate no meat or cheese for just one day a week, it would be like taking 7.6 million cars off the road. I thought that was crazy. And it, again, going back to how can we make an impact? It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much.
No, I mean, people are intimidated by the idea of like, well, I have to become a vegan because I'm not allowed to eat meat.
Right.
No, you can still eat meat, just do a little bit less.
And Crystal, I know the impact of that. And I know what the reasoning behind it is, but I would love for the person who is sitting like, well, you know, I mean, I don't understand, what is eating meat? How does that, you know, lessen what a car does? So explain that to us, because I think that, I know, but I could be wrong. So explain it to me.
Well, there's a few factors. First of all, in order to have cattle, a lot of places clear cut the forest. So they'll chop down a forest just to have wide open space of grass. And so clearing the forest, you're reducing the ability for what the forest, you're reducing the ability mm-hmm. of what the forest used to do by cleaning out the carbon dioxide from the air. And then when you put the cows on that land, cows by their burping, for mm-hmm. a lack of a better word, and the other direction as well.
Pooping, I will say it.
Farting.
Farting, okay.
Do their burping and their farting. They release a lot of methane, which is actually a stronger greenhouse gas than even carbon dioxide.
Wow, I didn't realize that. See, you're educating mm-hmm. me. I love this.
But having cows is not necessarily a bad thing. It's also how you mm-hmm. do the agriculture. Mm-hmm. So in many places in the US, many places in Brazil, you have factory farms where you have just a ton of cattle on one piece of land. And that land just keeps getting packed mm-hmm. and packed and packed and packed and just becomes basically dead land. Right. But if you were to raise the cattle in a way where, okay, they stay on one piece of land for a few months, they mm-hmm. eat that grass, and then you take them off that piece and move them to another piece mm-hmm. and allow the original part to regenerate, that allows for the vegetation, the grass, all the biodiversity that lives within the soil, it doesn't get it to revitalize. It's gotcha. Not stamped out. And in having that biodiversity of the soil, the grasses, the bugs, all of that, that helps to suck the carbon dioxide mm-hmm. out of the air as well. So cows aren't inherently bad. It's right. how we raise them right. on the factory farms that's mm. the problem. And also the clear cutting of the forests
right.
In
right.
order to have them.
Yeah.
But there are ways to do it.
There are ways to do it. We have a dairy farm not too far from here. Because I live in the suburbs. That's the last suburb before you get to like countryside. And for a New York City girl, that's a lot. I saw a tractor when I first moved here.
You're a New York City girl too.
Yeah. So when I moved here 10 years ago and I was going to the gym in the next town over, which is a mile away, there's a tractor that got in front of me and I was on the phone with my sister. I'm like, oh my God, there's a tractor. Where am I? Anyhow, that farm is there, and I actually love the work that they're doing because they do very sustainably move their cows from one piece. They have several plots, and at different times I see the cows go from this place to that place to that place, and at first I'm like, what the heck are they doing? And then I kind of figured it out. I was listening to another podcast that was talking about, I think it's maybe it was Costa Rica, where they actually do the type of farming where I think it was green beans and coffee. They plant them in the same place. I'm not even going to go out and explain it because,
I mean, even in the States, they have, I think there's a few different terms, but one of them is regenerative agriculture.
Yes, that's exactly.
Which is, farming in a way that actually benefits the land
right.
rather than strips it.
It strips
which is a lot of the factory farming is it strips the land and kills it.
And there's different little things that you can do. You know, that I when we went into lockdown, this is so funny. It just came back in my memories because obviously we were in March. And one of the things that I did before we went into lockdown, it was just my friend had gotten one and I thought, you know what? I think we should get one and it will help the environment if we use less toilet paper. And we got a bidet. My husband thought I was crazy for making him get a bidet. He's like, this is so stupid. Ugh. Fine. Well, when we couldn't find toilet paper, I was like, aren't you grateful we have, and we had some toilet paper, but then I was like, you know what? We need to do more than just this. And I switched, and I noticed in your Instagram as well that you did too. Mm-hmm. You switched to, I ordered it from Grove and I love it, but it's the bamboo toilet paper and it is so good. so perfect, and it's not clogging up my toilet, number one, and it's sustainable because bamboo grows so easily and it doesn't have the pesticides and all of that, and it's an easy change that you can do. And guess what? I don't even have to go to the store and fight for somebody else for a roll of toilet paper. I have it delivered to my house once a month, and I think I finally got the right because I was either ordering too much and then next order would come, or I would have to delay the order. But now I think I have the formula. I know how much to order for the two of us and what time frame, and it's perfect. So yeah, and little things like that can make a big impact.
It does.
So good. You know, I can't wait to release this because I'm going to release it around Earth Day, of course, because I think that, you know, this is a good God incidence that we were able to connect and we were able to meet. Where do you see yourself in the next 2 years, 5 years?
Well, location wise, you never know. so my husband grew up in 10 countries, and I have a feeling our lifestyle is going to be similar to how he grew up. But I'm excited for what might be next in that regard. And professionally wise, I want to continue with Voices for Nature. I want to create podcasts for other conservation organizations, and I want to start working with people either in group settings or one-on-one in helping them to make the sustainable changes that they're able to fit within their lifestyle.
I'd love that. I think that would be a great idea for you to be able, because you know, the way that you, your podcast is laid out in the education, you make it so digestible. In the tips that you give and the things that you talk about. So it would be great, because I think that we all can use common sense, easy to implement things that we can, you know, don't make it feel like, oh my God, how do I change the world, right? Well, one small time, you know, piece at a time. So, you can do it. You can definitely do it. So I think that that's terrific. And I would love for you to definitely, you know, keep us abreast of what you're doing and the things that you are participating in, because we'd like to cheer you on and, you know, keep in touch with what you're doing. And definitely when I go to Italy, oh my gosh, I was invited to Rome this year, but I don't think I can make it happen. It's coming too fast.
Well, when you come, I will bring you to the best pasta place in town.
Perfect. I honestly love, I spent about 10 days in Italy and it wasn't enough. So I need to go back for sure. Well, Crystal, it's so fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. What is your one tip for people who need to find a little bit of confidence in their life and in themselves to go after their dreams?
Remember your North Star. Mm. What is it inside that you just have to do?
It's
going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard, but stick to it, because you never know where it'll bring you.
Your North Star is a way to go. And you guys, make sure that you go and give Crystal some love, that you check her out, go to her podcast and listen and find ways in which you can make it attainable. And you too can be the force of nature, for nature, to change our world. And again, give her some love. And thank you, Crystal. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Becoming Forces for Nature or forcesfornature.com.
Excellent. Well, great. Thank you so much again. And we will see you soon. Don't forget, thank you, go Julie. Confidently.
Don't forget to go to forcesfornature.com and sign up to receive emailed show notes, action tips, and a free checklist to help you start taking practical actions today. Do you know someone else who would enjoy this episode? I would be so grateful if you would share it with them. Hit me up on Instagram and Facebook at Becoming Forces for Nature and let me know what actions you have been taking. Adopting just one habit can be a game changer, because imagine if a million people also adopted that. What difference for the world are you going to make today?